This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Chulin, tape number 5.
For subscription information, call us toll-free at 1-888-DAF-YOMI or write Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952.
This tape is dedicated in memory of Reb Avram Eliezer ben Harav Reb Chaim Weg Zichrono Levracha. Our Maggid Shir is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
We're holding a Masechta Chulin in the middle of Perek Kol HaBasar at the Gemara on Daf Kuf Yud Dalet. The Gemara says the pasuk of Leisavashel Gedi Bechalev Imai doesn't only refer to the Isser of Basar Bechalev by Imai, but by any behema cooked with any chalav, that's asr. Rav Ashi asks, how do we know that after basar b'chalav was cooked, that it is now asr to eat? Our answer is from the pasuk in Dvarim Yudalad, le'seichal kol tayeva. How do we know that hana is asr? We know it from Rav Avohu. This gemara is also brought in Psachim daf chaf alef. Anytime, kol makim shenemar le'yechal, le'seichal, le'seichlu, anytime the Torah uses a lashon of le'yechal, le'seichal, le'seichlu, we learn that just like achila is aser, so too hana is aser, unless the pasuk specifically says there is a heter of hana. For example, like nevela. Daf kuf tezvav. Cooking on Shabbos is a tayeva, but yet it is only aser bahana to the one who actually did the cooking. The Gemara says since there are three psukim which say lo savashel gadi b'chalev imay, the Beir Rabbi Shmuel learns that one pasuk teaches us the iser of bishul basa b'chalev, one teaches us the iser of achila basa b'chalev, and one teaches us the Isser of Hana, of Basar B'chalav. Daf Kuf Tazayin. The Isser of Klai HaKerem doesn't only apply to the growth of these items, but even just putting two different seeds together is Asr. Our Mishnah that says Basar B'chalav is Asr Bahana is not like Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, who holds that it is Mutter Bahana. The Gemara says that in the city of Rabbi Eliezer, they held that not only can certain mitzvahs asay bidei Cheshabbos, for example, Mila, but even machshira mitzvahs can be deicha Shabbos. This machshira mitzvah is preparation for the mitzvah. For example, carrying a knife for the milah, which is the preparation for the milah, even that would be mutter according to the shita. The Mishnah. The keva of an animal, which is the stomach, when people curdle milk in this keva, in the stomach, this is referred to, the byproduct is called rennet. It's what we use today to make cheese. The rennet of a behema that was killed by a guy, or the rennet of a behema which is a behema nevela, this is osur to eat. If one, however, takes the stomach of a properly shechted animal and curdles his own milk in it in order to make cheese, and of course this appears to now be basar b'chalav because you're putting milk inside the keva, which is basar, if there is enough tam in the keva, in other words, the keva, which is basar, is nice and tam in the yarha keva, then the milk or the cheese is osur as basar b'chalav. But if there is more than 60 times milk versus the stomach, so the meaty stomach is batul b'shishin, and the milk or the cheese will be mutter. Aye, but how can it be mutter? Don't we have a rule that says a davar hamaimid is never batul? A davar hamaimid is a strong agent which is necessary to create a certain object. For example, rennet here, which is needed to make cheese. Without rennet, you can't make cheese. So how can the keva be batul to the cheese? This is not just a question of bitul, but there's a davar hamaimid here. A davar hamaimid we know is not batul. The Rama, by the way, points out in Yerodeya Simin Pei Zayin, Sifyur Alf, he says that a Dover HaMaimid, where we say here Dover HaMaimid Loi Bato, is only if the Isser is Osir Machmas Atzmai. For example, the Keva is a Keva of a Nevela. But if the Keva is Kosher to begin with, then it's possible that a Dover HaMaimid can be Bato. The Gemara. It is okay to buy eggs from a guy, and we don't have to be Chayshish that the eggs came from a Trefa, or a Tarnagolas Nevela, since we go after Raiv, and most animals which lay egg are not nevelus or treifus. Shmuel asks, why did the Chachamim say cheese of Goyim are osur? More answer, since their cheeses are made via curdling in a kevas nevela, i.e. with treifa rennet. The halacha is that we cannot make cheese using the or kevas nevela, the meat tissue of the nevela, because the or gives a tam basar into the milk. But we can use the kevas nevela, the milk which is in the kevas nevela, or the milk from the keva of Shechitas Akum, since the milk is kosher. Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, the Mishnah. Chelev has a chumra versus dam, in that there is me'ila, pigol, and noiser. Masha'en kein by dam. And dam has a chumra, in that it applies to behema tohira or temea, by a chaya or a knife, versus chelev, which is only by a behema tahira. The Gemara. Dam doesn't have me'ila. This is learned from different psukim. There are certain mitzvahs like egla arufa and trumas hadeshen that even after you do the avaida, the item is still aser bahana. Finally, pigul only applies if the item is something where a different item acts as the matir. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin parak tes ha'ar v'haraitiv. As background to the Mishnah, to be makabel tumas eichlin, food must be at least the size of a kibetza. And to be considered an avela, which is metame, it must be at least the size of a kezayis. And the Mishnah says, there are certain things which they themselves cannot be metame, but can only be metame if they're mitzaref with other food, tumas eichlin. What, for example, is included in this? Or the skin, raitif, sauce, bones, sinews, horns, or hooves. They're not really food, any of these items, by themselves. But they can't be mitzaref to have tumas nevela. The Gemara. These items are really shaimrim of the food. For example, the sauce, which protects the food under it. Daf kuf yud ches. An example of a yad, and a yad is sort of a handle for the basar, but isn't a shaimer, is a bone which doesn't have marrow, so it doesn't protect the marrow. But it has basar at the end, and this is the yad. So if the bone touches a sheretz, it brings tuma to the basar at the end of the bone. And this bone can now transmit tuma to other items. But if it doesn't have a yad or a shaimer, for example, basar, which is the end of a piece of hair, then it cannot give over tuma. Rav says, even though there is a din of yad regarding tuma, there is no din of yad regarding hechsher. For example, seeds which are attached to the yad cannot be mukhshar lekabel tuma. Rabbi Yochanan says, yad can also bring in hechsher, so the attached seeds can become mukhshar lekabel tuma. Rav also says, there is no din of yad if the meat attached to it is smaller than a kezayis. And there is no din of shomer if it's smaller than a pool. Pool is the size of a bean. Rabbi Yochanan says, there is yad even if less than a kezayis, but he agrees that it must be more than a kezayis. Finally, to have tumas oihel, you need at least a shear of a kezayis. Daf kuf yud tes. The din of yad is learned from the pasuk in Vayikra Yud Aleph. If a piece of food has a double shomer, and each is less than a kezayis, can the two be mitzaref to create a kezayis regarding tumas oihel? This is a machlokes. And finally, only a bone can serve as a yad, not a hair, since it's too fragile to serve as a yad. Others say that it can be a yad. Daf kuf chaf. How can we write tefillin on parchment? Parchment has holes in it. Our answer is the holes are so small that the ink covers it up, so it's like it has no holes at all. The bristles on ears of grain can send out and bring in tuma, since it's considered a yad, but it cannot be mitzaref as a shomer. The Gemara says if someone melts chelev and he ate it, he's chayev. But why should he be chayev? The pasuk says achila, and this is shesia, this is drinking. My answer, since the pasuk says nefesh, which is mashmahana, it comes to include the drinking as well. And this is similar to chametz. Just like by chametz, if one eats it when it's dissolved, he's also chayev. But if he eats matzah like this, he's not yoytze as chayev, since it says lechem ayni, and this is not called lechem. Finally, items like tevel, chadash, bikurim, and hektish, the juice that comes out of them has the same din as the grain itself. Daf kuf chaf aleph. The nevela of an oif tahar cannot be metame by touching, only if it is swallowed. But if a sheretz touched it, the beak and the claws can act as a yad for tuma. From the pasuk in Vayikra Yud Aleph, v'chiyutan mayim al zera, this teaches us that for something to be mukhshar lekabel tuma, to be prepared so it can now take on tuma, it must first be touched by one of the seven liquids. Chizkiyahu said that if an animal had a good shechita, through rive of the simanim, and it's a behema tamea, but the animal is still jerking around, since the shechita was done properly, it's now called dead, and a goy can eat it, since now there's no iser of ever menachai. And the animal at this point, of course, can be metama tumas eichlin. Rabbi Yochanan says, there is ever menachai, since it's not fully dead yet, since it's jumping around, but there is also no potential of tumas eichlin. Daf kuf chaf beis. If we have two pieces of skin, which are each the size of a chatzi kezayis, we don't say that they're mitzaref to create an avela, because the skin is mevatel them. And this is the shita of Rabbi Akiva. The next Mishnah. In these cases, skin has the same halacha as the flesh, it is metame. The skin of a dead man, the skin of a domestic pig, certain other animals, the skin of the hooves, the fetus, and the tail. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, the eight shrutzim of the Torah, the skin does not have a din of basar. Gemara. Midaraisa, the skin of a dead man is not mitame, but midrabanan it is. If a person has in mind to shecht a karban chutzlim kaime, outside of the proper place, there is a lav, but there is no karis. But if he has kavana to eat it chutzlizmane, outside of the proper zman, this is what we refer to as pigol, and if it's eaten, he's chayav karis. If skin, the Gemara says, was processed at all, in other words, it was walked upon, that's how they used to process it, it has no more din of tame, but it is now tar. What is the shear for this? Gemara says, if it was processed enough to be walked at least 4 milin. The halacha of 4 milin is the same halacha of 4 milin regarding tefila and netila. If a person has to go out of his way more than 4 milin, then he's not mechuyev to daven with a minyan, or he's not mechuyev to get water for netila sedayim. Only if it's less than that shear does he have the chiyev. Tav kuf chav gimel. If there is a traveling legion of army troops and they enter a house, we assume everything in that house is now tameh, since they are probably carrying karkaflin, pieces of a head of a dead man with them. This was for good luck. Kuntres al-Adaf brings the Teferes Yaakov, who notes that the Rambam does not codify this halacha, and he offers the following reason. The Rambam holds that even if the troops bring karkaflin into one's house, we assume that they are carrying the skin of a Goyesha corpse, not of a Yisrael corpse. The Tana of the Brisa is of the opinion that the corpse of an Akum has the capacity to transmit tuma not only via maga umasa, touching or carrying, but also via tumas oihil, and he therefore says that everything in the house is tame. The Rambam, however, rules in accordance with Rav Shimon bar Yochai, who says in Yevamos daf samach aleph amud aleph that the corpse of an akum only transmits tuma via maga umasa, but not via tumas oihil. Therefore, the Rambam holds that our karkaflin do not convey tuma to everything in the house, unless we have reason to believe that they are carrying karkaflin made from Jewish corpses. The Rambam, by the way, is in Perak Aleph of Hilchas Tumas Meis, Halacha Yud Gimel. The next Mishnah. If someone processed the skin of an animal, if the animal is tahar and the person is tameh, or vice versa, if he wants to use the skin as a covering for a table, then if it is not more than the shear of kedei achiza, grabbable, then it's a yad for tuma, and it can transmit tuma. But if it's doubled over, then the skin is like mechuber to the animal. Gemara. If there is more than the shear of kedei achiza, then it's already heavily processed, and it can't be called a yad, so it can't be metame anymore. If a talus was tame, and someone began to rip it, so it would be mevatel from it, the shame keli, once it's ripped in its majority, it loses its shame keli. If a person has a skin which is tame, and he has in mind to make straps out of it, Rabbi Yehuda says once he applies the knife to it, it is immediately tahar. The Chachamim say he must cut it partially before it can be tahar. He has to cut it at least a shear of 5 tefachim. Daf kuf kaf dalet. If a tanur became tame, we can make it tahar by splitting it into 3 parts, and we take off the outside plaster. The shear of height in general for a tanur is 4 tefachim, in order for it to be capable of becoming tame. The next Mishnah. The shear of tumas nevela is a kezias. If a kezias basar is attached to a hide, so if someone touches a hair of the hide, he becomes tame. If he touches hair on the opposite side, he's also tame, since this hair is a shimer. If there is a half of a kezias each in 2 different places, Rabbi Shmuel says they can only be mitzdaref for tuma via masa, via carrying, not via maga, not via touching. Rabbi Akiva says, even by masa, it is not mitzdaref for tuma. Gemara. Ula says, if someone deliberately peeled off flesh from the hide in the Mishnah, it cannot transmit tumas nevela, since it isn't a chashuva piece, since it was now peeled off. If something the size of a kezias has tumas nevela, and then it's split in half, if the 2 pieces are brought into a house, it's a machlokes if they can be mitzdaref to create tumas oihel. Finally, 2 half kezesim of nevela, which were connected with a wood chip, even if someone carries it all day, he remains tahar. Daf kuf chav hei, the Mishnah. The kulius, which is the upper thigh bone of a dead man, or a karban, which has a psul, so the etzem is metame if it is the size of a sa'ira. If someone touches the bone, he becomes tame. But the kulius of a nevela or a sheretz, whose bone is not metame, if someone touches it, he does not become tame, unless there is a hole in the bone, since the outside is a shemer for the marrow. Since the marrow, we know, is metame via maga, via touching. And the rule is, once something can be metama via maga, it can be metama via masa, via carrying as well. But if it can't be metama via maga, then it cannot be metama via masa. Gemara. The bones of kachim, which were on a behema of noiser, they can be metama beitzim, since they're a basis ledavar ha'asar. If a person touches a half of a kazayas of a mace, and serves as an oihel for a different half kazayas, so we say he is tame. If tuma exists between two closets, and the space between the two closets is very narrow, i.e. it's less than a tefach, so the tuma is by ka'as ve'oila, it goes straight up and affects the entire area going vertically. If a person is within a tefach of a mace, that's called an oihel negia. If he's more than a tefach away, then it's a normal oihel. Rabbi Yossi says a handful of dust from a disintegrated corpse can give over tuma via maga, masa, and oihel. Rabbi Yossi also says if wood is interwoven on beams or on windows, it acts as a chatzitza between a house and an attic, and tumas oil does not go up to the attic. Daf kuf chavav. If a dog ate a piece of a mace, and then the dog died, and his neck is sitting in the door of a house, Rameir says if the width of its neck is more than a tefach, so this is an oil that brings the tuma into the house. Rabbi Yossi says if the neck is under the door, the house serves as an oil, and the tuma enters the house. In other words, it's mamshech itself into the house. Others say that it depends if the mouth of the dog is in the house. Rabbi Shimon says there are three cases of tuma that can come from a mace, but only two of the three will apply. In other words, two of the three things, maga, masa, and oihel, will apply. The first case is mlay tarvad raikev, a spoonful of decay from a mace. In this case, only masa and oihel will apply. The second case is etzam kisa'ira, a bone from a mace at least the size of a piece of barley. In that case, only maga umasa apply, but oihel does not apply. Finally, the case of geilil v'doifek, a cover and the sideboard of a coffin. In that case, only maga and oihel apply, but not masa. Finally, if a person has in mind to make a hole in a bone, so the bone wouldn't be metame as a shomer, do we say mechuser nekiva kemechuser maisadami or not? Our answer is we do not say mechuser nekiva kemechuser maisadami, and therefore it is metame. The Mishnah. If a beitza of a sheretz contains an embryo, it remains tahar, since you can't touch it. It's covered by a shell. And since you can't touch it, the shell is not a shomer to carry the tumah. But if there is a hole, then there can be tumah transmitted. Finally, there is a certain type of a mouse, which is considered half animal and half part of the earth. The earth creates it. Tanakhama says that one who touches the flesh section of this mouse is tame, but one who touches the earth section of the mouse is tahar. Rabbi Yehuda says even if one touches the earth section, he is tame. We know that the mouse is one of the eight species of shrutzim listed in the Torah in Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph, which transmit tuma sheretz. The Gemara. The notion of the need to be able to touch it to transmit tuma is learned from the pasuk of Vayikra Yud Aleph, Hanageya Yitma, Daf Kuf Chav Zayin. If a sheretz is floating on the water, and we're not sure if it touched something tame, so we have a suffix, so we say suffix tuma in this case is lakula. One of the eight shrutzim that is metame is a toad. It says leminehu, which comes to include a crossbreed of a snake and a toad. The Gemara says that every type of creature which lives on land has a similar creature that lives in the sea, except for the weasel. They said that if someone from Norash kisses you, check your teeth, since he may have stolen one of them. If someone from Pumpadisa accompanies you, change your address, because he may steal from you. The Gemara says since the snake has a 7-year pregnancy and a sheretz has 6 months, they cannot crossbreed to have children. The Mishnah. By a behema, if a limb or some flesh hangs off of the behema and a person has kavana to give it to a guy, so for now we consider it detached and it can be makabel tumas eichlin. But before it can, it must come into contact with one of the 7 mashgais in order to be mukshel akabel tuma. 7 mashgais are yad, shachat, dam, are the abbreviation for the 7. If shchita is done, the dam creates this hechsher, and now it's mukshel akabel tuma. Dam is one of the yad shachat dam, the dalet is the dam, and that's one of the things which can cause something to be mukshel akabel tuma. Rabbi Shimon says in this case, dam is not machsher. If the animal dies before shchita, so the dangling basar doesn't have tumas nevela, but needs hechshara in order for it to be makabel tuma. The Gemara says if figs shriveled while they're attached to a tree, so regarding Tumas Eichlin, they're like detached, and they can be metame. But regarding Shabbos, it's called mechuber, it's called attached, and one cannot pull them off on Shabbos, because if you pull them off, you're detaching them, and now they're tullish, which is an isser on Shabbos to do that. If the yad of an eichel becomes mukshel lekabel tuma, that can affect the eichel as well. Aye, but what about a dangling aver? Can't we say that the behema is a yad to affect the aver? This is a machlokes. Rav Shimon says no. Rav Meir says yes. Daf kuf chaf ches. After a tamei person, a person who touched a sheretz or an avela, goes into a mikveh, he's called a tful yaim, and he's still tamei to some extent until nightfall comes. If a tful yaim touches truma, he renders it tamei to the degree of shlish the tuma. But the tuma conferred on the truma that he touches is not strong enough to give tuma to another piece of truma that comes in contact with it. In other words, a shlishi cannot create a revi. The Gemara then brings a mishnah in tful yaim, which says that a piece of truma which is partially separated into two pieces, but is still partially attached, is sometimes judged as one undivided piece, and is sometimes viewed as two separate pieces, depending on the extent of the remaining connection. Rav Meir says this is the criteria to determine that. If the pieces are sufficiently connected, that if one were to lift the smaller piece, the larger piece would follow along without snapping off, then it's judged as one undivided piece, so that if a tful yaim touches any one part of the entire piece, then it's tameh. However, if the connection is such that the larger piece would snap off if the smaller piece were lifted, then the food is viewed as though it is divided, so that if a tful yaim touches only one part, the other part is not tameh, despite the fact that they are slightly connected and are touching each other. Kuntres Aladaf brings Taisvis, who notes that our Girsa of the Mishnah Tful Yaim reads that this view presented in our Gemara Bera Meir is really Rabbi Yehuda's position. The Mishnah there brings Rav Meir as saying that as long as the connection is such that the smaller piece will not snap when the larger piece is lifted, they're considered as one piece. The Gemara in Brachas, Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, rules in accordance with Rava, who says, Mevarech v'achar kach b'tzea. First, a person should recite the bracha on his loaf of bread before slicing it, because a whole loaf is more chashev than just a slice, and one should recite a bracha on something chashev. Taisva says that this does not mean one should wait until after the bracha to begin slicing the loaf, because this would entail a hefsik, a delay between the bracha and eating of the bread. Rather, says Taisus, Rava just means that one should not finish slicing his bread until after his bracha. Preferably, one should begin slicing his bread before the bracha to minimize the hefsik. One should finish slicing it after the bracha, so the bracha is recited on the whole loaf. The rush, which is brought there in brachas, Simen Yud Tes, also brought in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, Simen Kuf Samach Zayin Sif Alef, modifies Taisus' assertion based on the Mishnah cited by our Gemara. He says that although one should begin slicing prior to the bracha, as Taisvah suggests, one must be careful not to cut too deeply into the loaf. If one cuts the loaf or bread to the extent that the larger piece would snap off if the smaller piece were lifted, then the loaf is considered divided into two pieces and it's no longer shalem. And we know you need. Therefore, one must be careful to make only a minimum incision in the loaf before making the bracha. Taisvah says that on Shabbos, one should not begin slicing the challah before the bracha, because on Shabbos there is a requirement to recite the bracha on Lecha Mishnah, two whole loaves. Even though a challah with just a small incision is still considered as whole, Taisus is concerned that one may mistakenly slice it in two or cut too deeply into the challah and render it halachically as two parts. Therefore, the Rama in Siman Kuf Samach Zayin rules in accordance with Taisus that on Shabbos one should not make a cut in the challah before the bracha. The Marshal, however, brought in the Bach, brought in the Magen Avram, Hilcha Shabbos, Siman Reish Ayin Dalad, Sifkat and Aleph, says that on Shabbos one should at least make a reshima, a mark on the challah with his knife. By deciding and designating prior to the bracha where to cut the challah, one minimizes the hefsek between the bracha and the eating. The Gemara says that in the Mishnah we had a machloikis of a dangling aver can become mukshel lekabel tuma via dam shchita. Rava says the machloikis is if there is a yad for hechsher or not. Rav Papa said the machloikis is regarding machshava. If a behema is still alive, can it serve as a yad for tuma? Gemara says, teku. Vegetables, which are connected to the ground, cannot be mekabel tuma, but if they are tallish, they're disconnected, then they can be mekabel tuma. Finally, Rav Meir holds that when an animal dies, a behema dies, since we hold misa oise nipple, it's as if the aver fell off before death, and it's betama not as aver nevela, but as aver minachai. And nafkamina between these two is that the busser falls off from an aver. Daf kuf chav tes. If a large piece of leavened dough was designated to be a chair on Pesach, so it loses its shem chametz since it's now a keli. But now it can be mekabel tuma as a keli. A branch of a fig tree, which broke off but is attached by the bark, Rabbi Yehuda says it's called mechuber, so it cannot be mekabel tuma. The Chachamim say, if it can still stay alive, then it's called mechuber, but if it cannot stay alive under this scenario, then it's called tolish and it is mekabel tuma. The next Mishnah. A dangling limb or skin of a man does not have tumas mace unless the person himself dies. If he dies, we say misa oisa nipul. So it's as if it fell off before death, and it is metame not as tumas nevela, but as tumas ever menachai. That's what Rameir says. Reb Shimon says it's tahar. The Gemara. The Gemara quotes something from Megillas Tainus. Megillas Tainus, by the way, is the compilation of brises, which lists many days of the year that were considered mini chagim, because of miracles or special things that happen on those days. And in those days, hespedim, or fasting, is osur. Rav says in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis, that after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the festivals that were listed in Megillas Tainus are no longer celebrated, and those days are no longer considered osur for fasting or for hespedim. So Megillas Tainus, it says that Pischa Ze'ira, which is referred to as Pesach Sheni, which comes on Yud Dalet Iyar, it's also to make a hesped for someone who dies. And since it's also to do a hesped on Pesach Sheni, then Kal V'Chomer, it's also to do a hesped on Pesach Rishon. In other words, Yud Dalet Nisan, Tesav Nisan, and so on. Finally, a Kazayis Basar, which is Pirish from Eivir Ben Achai, Rabbi Ezra says, Tomei, Rabbi Nechunya Ben Hakana, and Rabbi Yeshua say, Tahar. This marks the end of this parak. Daf Kuf Lamed. Let's now begin Perek Yud Hazuraya of Ahalachayayim. And the Mishnah says, the mitzvah of giving matnas kohuna to the kayin from an animal which one shechts, what is that exactly? What a person does is he gives the zuraya, the forearm, the lachayayim, which is the jaws, and the keva, which is the stomach. This mitzvah applies, the mitzvah of matnas kohuna, for the zuraya lachayayim in keva, the mitzvah applies both in Eretz Yisrael as well as in Chutz La'aretz. It applies during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed as well. But it only applies to a chulin animal, not a hektish animal. However, by kudshim animals, we don't give the zroya of l'chayayim v'keva, but instead we give the chaz of a sheik to the kayin. If a carbon has a permanent mum, so only kedushas damim applies. The Gemara. We learn that the matana of zroya l'chayayim in keva does not apply to kudshim. This is learned from a pasuk of Aysam. Reb Chisda says if someone ruins or eats matnas kahuna before he gives it, he doesn't have to give it at all. In fact, he doesn't have to pay the kayin for it either, since the pasuk says specifically the word zeh. The Gemara explains that as long as the matnas kahuna are in the possession of the Yisrael, they're considered to be called mamon she'en lai tayvin, mamon, money, which has no claimants, and therefore one who damages them is pater from paying. Tysus is of the opinion that the fact that the zraya is considered mamon she'en lai tayvin, this only exempts the mazik as far as dinei adam are concerned. So in other words, bezin can't take money from him. However, the mazik still has a chiyuv bidei shamayim to pay the kohanim for the zraya which he ruined. The Ran argues with Taisvis and says that the mazik has no chiyuv at all, not a chiyuv bidei adam and not a chiyuv bidei shamayim either for any damage which he may have caused. The Gemara says that it's better to give matnas kahuna to a kayin chaver and not to a kayin amaretz. Finally, if a person is wealthy, so he has no schus to partake in matnas aniyim, in other words, ma'aser sheni, leket, shikcha, and so on, but if he was traveling and he ran out of money, he can now take any of these that he wants to, since presently, at the moment, he has no money. He's traveling and he has no money, so therefore he's considered like an ani, and he is allowed to take leket, shikcha, or ma'aser ani. Rabbi Eliezer says, when he gets home, however, and he gets home and he has money at home, then he must repay what he took. Reb Chisda says he only has to pay back if he wants to pay back.